Hi there, I'm Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, a speaker, a mom of two teens and one emerging adult, and a passionate advocate for family and youth service. While I was researching my second book, Simple Acts, The Busy Teen's Guide to Making a Difference, I learned about so many big-hearted tweens and teens who are volunteering, fundraising, starting nonprofits, and becoming social entrepreneurs and activists. I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to celebrate them and share them with the world so that everyone can be as inspired as I am. I hope that after listening to these short episodes, you'll go out into your community and share your light, your talents, gifts, and strengths to help others. Because the truth is, every person can make a big impact, one simple act at a time. On today's episode of Simple Acts, Big Impact, I'm doing something a little different. I'm speaking with a young adult, Emma Rose Shapiro. She's a chemistry teacher in Philadelphia. I'm departing from my mission of interviewing only tweens and teenagers on this podcast because Emma started a nonprofit called Halloween Helpers when she was just 12 years old, and she's watched that organization grow over many years. As we prepare for Halloween at the end of this month, I hope everyone will find some inspiration in Emma's story and find a way to share the sweetness of this holiday or any holiday, your favorite holiday, with others. Welcome, Emma. Thanks so much for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's nice to meet you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us about Halloween Helpers.
Definitely. So my name is Emma Rose Shapiro. I just go by Emma. I actually just turned 25 last week, and I'm a Libra. And I am currently a teacher in North Philly. I teach in the School District of Philadelphia. I teach students chemistry.
Awesome. So as I mentioned in the introduction, Emma's a little older than my usual guest on the podcast, but that's because she started this organization called Halloween Helpers when she was 10 years old. Is that true, Emma?
I was 11 or 12 when I came up with the idea. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. And so I really wanted to do something about Halloween in the month of October to talk about the ways that we can use holidays as sort of a motivation to do service and to do good in the world. But I also personally just love what Halloween Helpers is all about, because it has always broken my heart as a parent to take those beautiful costumes that we spend all this money on and to do what with them at the end of Halloween. I'm not sure. They stay in the play box or something, and then maybe we hand them down to someone else. But why don't you tell everybody about Halloween Helpers and how you got started with the idea and how it grew over the years, because it's been around now for a while.
Yes. So in 2008, I had to come up with an idea for a mitzvah project because I was becoming a bat mitzvah at the age of 13. So a mitzvah literally means good deed. And not only do you get to read from the Torah when you're 13, in Judaism, but you also need to go out into the community and do something and make a difference. And that's always something I've really loved about our religion. But anywho, when I was 12, I was trying to look at all of these different organizations online, see something that sparked my interest. And it was also September or October. I knew my favorite holiday of Halloween was coming up. I love to dress up. I always have. I danced. So I had a bunch of dance costumes. Always had a Halloween costume every year growing up, fortunately. And I was in theater too. So I really had an accumulation going on in my closet. And like I said, it was October, and I'm looking and I'm like, what can I do with all of these? Is there an organization that I could donate them to? And it just got the wheels rolling. I had really supportive parents. They really encouraged me to think, what could I do? How could I do it? So that's really how the Halloween Helpers developed. It is now a 501c3 nonprofit where we collect gently used and new Halloween costumes and donate them to underserved children who may not otherwise get one.
Amazing. So can you explain, how did you get started initially with your own stuff, but then you were obviously collecting from others. So you set up donation boxes, you spread the word. And then I think it's really important too to explain how you connected to the organizations that you then donated the costumes to. So I think a lot of times people have this great idea, oh, just collect this or that. But then how do you actually, take the next step logistically and get the costumes into the hands of kids that need them?
Yes, I would definitely love to talk about that process. So luckily, my mom is a marketing, you know, engineer. She's great. She helped reach out to different organizations and such as churches, synagogues, Boy Scout troops in the area to see if they would not even host a costume drive, just if they would even have a box, a collection box. And we were looking for places around the area that would have a collection box. It would say the Halloween Helpers on it, a little bit of information about it. And we would hope that people would drop them off and then we would be able to use them. And so in the first few years, it was hard to get the name out and have people to trust us and say, yes, you know, this is where the costumes are going and that we meant well, of course. And then our first year, I had a goal, and it was a big goal, of 1,000 costumes, but we actually collected over 2,000 in the first year. Yep. In 2009, over 2,000 costumes. And we had a whole official drive, a giveaway where we really tried to simulate a fun Halloween costume choosing experience. You know, we gave them a shopping bag. They got to walk down the aisles and see the different Halloween costumes. The way we did it, we would go through every single costume, make sure it was clean, make sure it was appropriate. Even we take all sizes, you know, infant to adult size, and we would go through them, make sure they're clean, like I said, and bag them and label them so that when they're walking through the aisles, they have a choice of, well, I'm this size and I want to be a princess, or I'm that size, I want to be a Power Ranger. And I mean, that everyone was so appreciative, of course. But even some very appreciative people were those getting rid of the costumes.
Absolutely.
Like we saw a lot of people. I mean, it's a really great sustainability method, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, because you do see sometimes even brand new costumes. We get a lot of new costumes.
Right. Well, I've had that experience, you know, as a parent. They come to you in like August and say they want to be this, and you buy the costume because you're worried that it's going to sell out or something. And then 3 weeks later, they tell you they want to be that, you know. And so when they're little, you're trying so hard to make them happy, and you end up with a closet full of perhaps brand new, even unused costumes. But I think you raised, you know, a very good point there about sustainability. You know, this is one of those items that is like a one and done, because no one's going to want to be the same thing 2 years in a row, and unless you have children of varying ages and they don't mind being the thing that their older sibling was. It does. It feels very wasteful. It feels like a thing we're just throwing into the environment. And that's just really sad. You know, when I was a kid, we made our own costumes. But nowadays, you know, they're made out of this funny material that feels very kind of cheap and plasticky. And, you know, I just love the idea of bringing joy to someone else, and then maybe they can donate it to somebody else. And like, let's just keep that going. I also loved what you said about making sure that the costumes were clean, that all the pieces were there, and that you set it up in a way where it sort of respected everyone's dignity, right? Where it's not just like, here you go, here's this cast off costume, go ahead and wear it. No, they have a choice, and these things are new, or they're gently used and they're clean. And so everyone feels like they can shop for these things, right? Like this is that they have a choice in the matter. I think that's a really beautiful perspective to have. So it's grown now. This started a long time ago. You're 25. You were 11 or 12. I mean, this is a lot of years. And so this is ongoing. It has continued through your high school years, presumably, when you went off to college. Now your mom still continues this work, I presume, or you might help still. But like, how has this grown? How have you seen it sort of change at all? Are there more costumes that are collected every year? Do you just try and keep it the same size so it doesn't get too overwhelming?
So at this point, we've collected over 15,000 costumes.
Wow.
And we've even given them throughout the world. I mean, there are some things that have changed, such as Well, because we are one of the very few Halloween specific charities, a lot of people from all over the country and all over the world, they hear about us and they want us. And so we've had to become creative. We basically have a huge warehouse where, because we get sent costumes all year round. It's not just the Halloween times. And it's not just, the biggest time would be right after Halloween, honestly.
Right. Right.
And so we collect them, like I said, and then yes, we bag them. And I think the biggest thing that has kept the same is that every year, I mean, a few weeks before Halloween, probably early October, my mom, my sister and I, some volunteers, and we just go through all the costumes, go mm-hmm. through our process. The spreadsheets are out of control. Like right. We make sure that we know what we have and who is getting what. And then we've actually sent them out. We've UPSed them all throughout the world.
I'm sure though, and I would like to say this to folks listening from all over the country, if they want to do something similar in their own or in their own community, I bet there is, you know, they can start a collection box and partner with a brother, Big Brothers Big Sisters, the Boys and Girls Club, the Ronald McDonald House, you know, the local, you know, everything. I mean, these are any organizations that work with children in foster care, kids who live in homeless shelters or in domestic violence shelters. I mean, you can find in any community pretty much, wouldn't you agree, an organization that deals with young children who are in need of these costumes and who would be so appreciative to receive them. So you have this incredible system going and it's amazing. And the fact that you ship them all over the country and all over the world is fantastic. But I think even if someone wanted to start this kind of work, you know, right in their own community, there is a need and they would be able to do that. Don't you think?
1,000%. Definitely. Yeah.
Are there any lessons that you and your mom and your sister learned in this process? Were there any surprises as you were going through this? I mean, it's been a lot of years and you were kind of young when this all started, so might be a better question for your mom. But I mean, were there any things that you learned along the way that you would like to share that you were sort of surprised by, both in the, you know, maybe in the negative and in the positive?
Definitely. I mean, like I said, in the beginning, it was a little hard. I mean, a challenge or a surprise. I mean, my own middle school, they didn't want to have a drive. Isn't that strange?
And did they explain why? Was there a reason given? Like, was it that they didn't want the mess of all the costumes in the hallway or something? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
I don't know. They told my mom something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but that just inspired us to go toward, you know, already pre-established type organizations that you mentioned and pair with mm-hmm. them in the community. Yes. And really do it in that way. I mean, like I said, I was very surprised, not just, of course, that the people getting the costumes were so thrilled and happy to get them, but that equally the people getting rid of them, it felt good that they felt good and that they were getting another life, the costumes. I mean, surprise, like from a young age, I mean, I was only 12 or 13 at the first drive, and like just hearing these stories from these families and kids at the drives, like, do I put gas in my car or do I get a Halloween costume for one of my, you know, however many kids? That they were so appreciative and it just made me want to do it more. This was me in a very young era being, you know, just with the volunteering and Sadaka. But it inspired me in college. I was really involved in volunteering. I was in leadership positions, and even to this day. Another thing, a big lesson, is just how important creativity is, thinking outside of the box. That's something I hold true in my teaching to this day. And I just love that everyone gets to be involved in Halloween.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, you know, I think one of the goals for this episode was to inspire folks to take a holiday that they really enjoy or a tradition that they really enjoy around the holidays and to figure out a way to share it with others, right? So I just love that, you know, as a young person, as a tween, you were like, well, I love Halloween. I love dressing up for Halloween. And how can I share that joy, that passion with other kids who might not have that opportunity? I mean, that's really the goal of my work. It's the goal of my book. It's the goal of this podcast, is to have everybody thinking about those types of things. And I think this is a, you know, just a perfect example of it. Well, Emma, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. This was really, really wonderful. I hope that this conversation inspires everybody to look in their own closets and in their own hearts and to figure out a way to share their abundance and their gifts. Is there any way that folks can learn more about Halloween Helpers? Can you point folks to a website, social media, and maybe a way to reach out if they have questions of ways that they can do this in their own community or donate to you guys?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you as well. You can visit our website at www.thehalloweenhelpers.com. We have our email on there, our phone, our mailing address. So you can contact us if you want to have a drive, if you have costumes to donate. We are really always looking to partner, of course, with people all over the country. So we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Emma. Good luck to you. Be well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.